This evening we'll take our Bible and turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, we'll just read the first three verses, and then we will just consider a few points from this few verses here tonight, and then we will go downstairs for some refreshments. We won't be long tonight. We've certainly been blessed by the testimonies that have been shared, and if we left now with the songs that have been sung and testimonies have been shared, we certainly know we've already heard from the Lord, and yet I think it's always good to open up His Word and see just a little bit message from the Lord. Singing is something that many people enjoy, as evidenced by our singing this evening. Not all of us have voices that other people may enjoy. Sometimes we enjoy singing, but the people around us may not enjoy our singing. And that's okay. That's going to be the way it is. I used to get mad at my brothers when I was a young lad. If they would start singing, I'd get mad. I don't know why. I just didn't like their singing. It wasn't particular that they were bad singers or they were particularly out of tune. I said, if I want to listen to music, I'll listen to a cassette tape. Yeah, those old-fashioned cassette tapes. Or listen to the radio or something. I don't want to listen to you sing. And they would answer, well, they would say, well, the Bible says that we should sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And I said, exactly. Make melody in your heart to the Lord so I don't have to listen to it. I don't want to listen to you sing. And I was a little bit of a brat that way, and I would never have admitted it then, but I do admit it now, especially when they're not here, and that piece can be deleted from the sermon when it goes online, and so they will never know. No, that's not true, but the fact of the matter is that we don't always necessarily enjoy hearing other people sing. Sometimes we do, and we should, but we don't always enjoy that. I had to think there's a... Pondering this thought, some of us have stage-worthy voices, and some of us have shower-worthy voices, right? So you can sing in the shower when nobody else can hear, and that may be the safest place for some of us to sing, and some of the rest that have stage-worthy voices that they can be up in front of people, and that may be the way we think about it sometime. But the fact of the matter is God doesn't require a particular quality of voice to sing. God is more interested in the heart behind the voice than He is the quality of the voice. And God is the one who gives some people very good voices, very nice voices. And, you know, those who are blessed with nice voices ought to be very thankful to God for giving them that voice. And those who aren't need to just say, well, this is the way the Lord made my voice, and I'll just sing from my heart. And that's what God is looking for, is for us to sing from our heart with the voice that He has given us to do that. But Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I want us to think tonight just for a few minutes about a song of praise. And David's song is mentioned in verse number 3. This is a psalm of David. It says that at the top, probably in your Bible, like it does of mine, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. And David says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. This new song was in contrast to an old song. The song that David said, new, of course, is in contrast to old. There are a lot of songs out there, and evidently in David's day there was also a lot of songs. And David said, God has put a new song in my mouth. Old songs may be to us the songs that we sung before we knew the Lord. That's not necessarily the case. Of course, the hymns that we sing, some of them are very old. Some of them aren't as old. I often say the age of a song isn't what makes it good or bad. The good or bad is depending on the words to the song, and the music that it's played to makes a song good or bad. It's not because it's old. Some people say, oh, you just like the old hymns because they're old. No, there's some old hymns that aren't good. They're not doctrinally correct. And so therefore, you know, they're not really worthy of singing. But just, I was thinking about this, and what would David mean by saying he has put a new song in my mouth? And thinking about new being in contrast to the old, to put it in our way of thinking tonight, we may think about those old songs as being the songs that we knew before we knew the Lord. Those songs that maybe we liked to sing along with and that entertained us in some way. The songs that spoke about our own life and the emptiness of life perhaps and sin. You know, it said that if you play a country song backwards, a country record backwards, and I can say record because they're coming back in, right? If you play a country record backwards, you get your pickup truck back, you get your dog back, and you get your wife back. Because that's what a lot of them, you know, you play them forwards, they talk about losing all those things. You play them backwards, you get all those things back again. But there are many songs that talk about life and love and lust and the affairs of this life that are very empty, aren't there? And a lot of people sing along with them and they think, oh, this is a great song. But if you start listening to the words, and of course there's many songs even that are particularly played today and over these last 20, 30, 40, 50 years that are very vulgar in nature. And there are songs that when people stop, they say, oh, I really like this song. When they stop and really listen to the words, they say, whoa, what is that song talking about? Terrible things that are being talked about and sung about in songs. But the songs that God puts in their heart are not that way. And the psalmist said that God has put a new song in my heart, in my mouth. He's put a new song in my mouth. The song that God puts in our heart, which flow from our lips, are full of meaning. They don't speak of a life of emptiness, but a life of fulfillment. We just sang Amazing Grace. What a wonderful song, what a wonderful testimony that song is of the life of the man who wrote it. But not only him, but those of us who can say, yeah, I can fit myself into that song. It's full of meaning, and we can apply that in our life. They speak of fulfillment. They praise not self, but they praise the giver of every good and perfect gift, the Lord himself. Isn't it amazing how, if you listen to many secular songs, they're full of trying to lift self up and talk about self and how wonderful I am. The songs that we think about, you know, that God puts in our heart, that are, of course, the Psalms themselves and the many songs that have been written down through history that are songs we sing of praise to God. They lift God up. They don't lift us up. They lift God up and draw us closer to Him through the truths that they share with us and teach to us. They don't focus on this life, but on the life which is to come. Their thoughts of this life are only that which God has done in our life and the victory that He has wrought in our life. And so David said this song that God had given to him was a song of praise to our God. Praise for what God had done for him, which we'll look at specifically in a moment in verse number 1 in particular and verse number 2. The root word for praise, of course, has the thought of glory or to shine or to make a show or boast. I think of praise to God, it's bragging on God. It's boasting out what God has done. It's saying, look at God shining the spotlight on Him. Praise to our God. Look what God has done in my life. David's song bragged on God for what God had done for him, and it pointed the spotlight on God and not himself. Again, I'm not saying that it's wrong to sing songs that don't talk about God. There are some songs that are harmless and fine, and I'm not saying every song you sing has to be praise to God. But these particular songs we're going to be talking about referring to this evening in David's new song were songs of praise to God and honoring God that came forth from his heart out of his lips. And so David's song was a new song that God had given of praise to God. And David's song was about David's salvation in verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The reason for David's song was his relationship with God. The salvation that God had provided for David was very dear to him. And he said, the song that I sing is a song about God and what God has done in my life. He would recognize the state that he was in when God found him. He said, I cried unto the Lord. It was desperation. He was wanting God, needing God to do something on his behalf. He said that he had been in a horrible pit. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. I've never been in a horrible pit, but I've seen some on TV and stuff. You know, you see these booby traps and somebody falls through and then they're down and they can't get out and they think, well, it'd be horrible to be down there with snakes and bugs and all kinds of things that would be down there. And I picture that kind of situation. He said, hey, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, stuck in the clay and can't get fully out of clay. Ever had clay on your feet? I'm sure most all of us have at some point tried to walk through and it just gets so heavy and it sticks down and you can hardly move your feet. Yesterday we went out for a long overdue ride on our ATVs, Ben and I, and Lord bless Steve and Craig for coming along with us and pulling Ben out of the miry clay, because he got stuck in the miry clay and he couldn't get out by himself and he needed to be pulled out of the miry clay. But David's talking about this. He's not saying physically he'd been in a pit, although I'm sure he had been in some in his life. He'd been in some caves and so on. But he wasn't speaking about that. He was speaking about his spiritual birth, his spiritual salvation. He was talking about what God had done for him spiritually in turning around his life. Do you remember maybe feeling a little bit like David expresses here? Being down in a horrible pit, having your feet in the miry clay, crying out and wondering how you could ever get out of that pit. The pit of sin you had fallen into and the clay that seemed to keep you stuck in the past that you didn't want to be in, but you just seemed to had no way out. That's the way David was. And he said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard my cry and he delivered me from that. And look at the exchange that he did. He set my feet upon a rock. Instead of being down in a pit, he was up on a rock. Instead of being in the clay, he was on that secure place of established place. What an amazing transformation. What an amazing difference God had made in his life. Isn't it nice to be able to stand on a rock and see where you're going and know that you can head over that way instead of being in a pit thinking, I wonder how I'll ever get out of here. And God had done that for David. He set his feet upon a rock and established his going, established his paths. That's what God does for us when we get saved, isn't it? He delivers us out of the pit of sin, the bondage of sin, out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon a rock. And he is a rock. His word is a rock. But we're no longer bound in that pit. We're placed on our way. We're placed on a way that leads to glory, placed on a path that is heavenward in its destination. No wonder it was a song in David's mouth. He said, my song is because of my salvation that God has given to me. No wonder that we, as we sing together tonight, and as we enjoy those songs, you know, they take us back to situations in our life and say, praise God for what he's done. And then we start looking at the word and say, wow, this is good. That's how I felt. And we sing along with it more joyfully. And the song is in our mouth. David's statement then is that many would see his song or see the change that God had made in his life. There was his song and there was his salvation and it was his statement. He said that people would be pointed to the Lord as a result of his song that God had put in his mouth. They would see what God had done for his life. They would fear God and realize their need of God and turn to him for their salvation. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What a wonderful result of a great song. That other people would see that and hear that and know that. What had taken place and say, yes, I need that for me. Jesus said that we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. To point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to point people to the Father. Songs that give testimony to what God has done in our lives make a statement. Again, we come back to that song, Amazing Grace, that we sang at the end tonight. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That song was published, I believe, in 1779, 235 years ago, written by John Newton, who had been a slave trader and who had become a slave himself. And I'm sure it could well fit with David's words here in Psalm 40. And God had changed his life. And John Newton wrote those words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't think any of us have been slave traders. I don't think any of us have probably even been slaves except to sin. But when we sing those songs and sing that song, and I'm sure many people down through history have been touched by that song. They've heard it, they've seen it, and they've feared and perhaps put their trust in the Lord. Because of the testimony of the new song that God put even in the heart and in the lips of John Newton as he wrote that song. And so not just songs, but of course our own testimony of God's grace in our lives, that which God can use to point others to Himself. Whether you sing it or tell it, make sure people know what God has done for you. God has saved us and done so much in doing so, and so may God help us to have a song of praise upon our lips that others would see and fear and trust in the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You again for this time, and thank You for this great psalm. Lord, I know it's not unfamiliar, but what a great truth, what a great blessing it is to think about our salvation. Lord, we've sung many songs that refer back to our salvation tonight. Our hope is in the Lord who gave Himself for me. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Lord, we've sung Amazing Grace. We've sung some of these wonderful songs of praise and testimony that have said what You've done for us in our life. Lord, may we not just sing them here, but may we share them as we go out to our places of work, perhaps, and to our homes. And Lord, may we sing these songs and perhaps recite the words of these songs to people who don't know what that means. And may they see in our lives the reality of what You've done for us. And may they place their trust in You, as David said many would do with the songs that You'd given to him. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the new songs that You put in our heart as Christians, those songs that do sing about You and praise You and bring glory to Your name. For truly, You are worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And so, Lord, may the songs that we sing and the lives that we live and the words that we speak shine a spotlight upon our Savior in appreciation for all He has done for us. Lord, bless our fellowship time downstairs. We're thankful for those who brought in refreshments. Lord, I pray that You bless them to our use. And Lord, as we would head home later on, take us to our homes in safety. But Lord, I pray that our fellowship would be sweet and would be honoring to You tonight as we go downstairs, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.